Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know, but I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about this endlessly with you. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Masked Singer Wrap-Up Podcast. We're here today to talk about Masked Singer Season 11, Episode 4, a.k.a. TV Theme Night, a.k.a. Group C once again, a.k.a. the first wildcard to be introduced into the gauntlet. I'm, of course, your host, Puya the Kane, Zanvakili, ready to break things down once again. And with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, it's Liana, the medicine cabinet, Boris. Liana, how are you doing?
About to take a pill of happiness, because here we are, baby, ready to talk about the Masked Singer. We are sticking with Group C, what I thought was a super, super solid group. Our first wild card on masking. and back for TV theme night, something that we've seen before, but we're back at it again for tonight.
Yeah. Now, before we dive into the episode, I have to ask you your thoughts on this. We do find out by episode's end that we are sticking it out with Group C until we get them to the finals. But then it also sounds like next week is the final. So is it going to be two unmasking next week, or two are going to the final six?
No, okay. Let's see what they did last season, because I would assume that they would be sticking with a similar format, although they did do, I think, like all of Group A, all Group B, all Group C. Mm. So they did for the, yes. Okay. So they had the Ding Dong Keep It On bell season as well, yes. Which I'm not sure we might see this season, where the finale was essentially three people, where one person won and then two were eliminated, except for the Ding Dong Keep It On bell. So that's how the gazelle ended up coming in third, because the gazelle and the cow were in the same group. The cow won, and then the gazelle got Ding Donged, kept it on. So yeah, it's possible. So my assumption is that we actually are going to see the finale next week for Group C. And then there might be some sort of Ding Dong Keep It On bell. And then the finale will be the four contestants, three from the group, and then maybe one that gets saved. Otherwise, we'll just do the three.
Which makes sense, ultimately, because we're only going to have three performers next week. And the way to run up that runtime is to have two of them unmask. So
Yep.
Yeah.
So yeah, you're not wrong.
Yeah.
And also with the episode numbers as well, I think this is episode four. So by episode five, we'll essentially have the Group C finale. Then it'll be like two more episodes per group, which gets us close
to nine. Yeah, we'll be right there, because season 10 was 11 weeks.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So that does add up. That makes sense. Now, TV theme night. Like you said, this is not a new theme here. We have had this before. But what did you think of the entire judges panel opening it up with a number from Gilligan's Island?
Oh, yes. Well, so I've been a big fan of having former contestants come back and sing. No offense to the judges, but that doesn't really move the needle per se for me. Although I will say, having Ken do most of the singing was great, because he, like, for those who may not know, he was actually on the Korean version of The Masked Singer, like the OG version of The Masked Singer. So, and he can actually sing. So it's nice to have him celebrated, I guess, in that way. But again, if I'm picking between a former contestant and, I guess, no performance or the performance from the judges, I'm always going to pick the former contestant. So I was kind of hoping for that, but sure, whatever. Whatever pads the time.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, it's really, you know, we got to open it up. We get the performance. I too am happy that Ken took the load here, because, and no offense to him, I don't think there's a whole lot of numbers that Ken can do justice to. But Gilligan's Island theme song might be the one time this season where he can do it.
Yeah, it was cute. And then that was why the judges were all dressed up the way they were, because they picked certain characters from Gilligan's Island. So
have you watched Gilligan's Island before?
I don't think I've ever watched an episode of Gilligan's Island, but I'm familiar with the cultural reference and the song, actually.
Okay, so then
have you? Is this like what was it on Survivor? With Opie that they were MASH.
Right?
Isn't that what it was? What? No. Not. Why am I blanking? Oh my god! Remember on Survivor? Oh, Andy Griffith. Yes. Okay. Remember? That's what I was kind of hoping for. I was hoping for some weird crossover where we're gonna get like the Andy Griffith Alliance, and now we're getting the Andy Griffith like theme song. But I don't know how you would do that for a full song.
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So then we do learn, like we said, we're going to have the first wild card of the season show up here. But as expected, that they save that for last. Instead, we're going to open things up with the clock. Clock is back once again. Liana, let's go through this clue package, shall we? What did you get from this clue package?
So what I had is that the clock has gone through their fair share of ups and downs, but just like any good TV series, they've laughed, they've cried, and they've always been renewed. There was a map of the Mississippi, like specifically the Mississippi River, and then other visual clues. There was an engine. She also talked about how she would, when she was broke, she appreciated the good things in life. She had marriages that didn't work out, but got beautiful children from them, been through good times and the bad, which then leads us into her performance.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you, Liana. 2 weeks in now with the clock, I still haven't gotten any closer to figuring out who the clock is. Not for lack of clues. They're definitely giving us some. You know, we got Detroit, so Detroit could bring us closer. We got the Mississippi River Trail, so that's something. They have two children, and they've had a fair share of ups and downs. That's anybody. Mm-hmm. Every living person has had ups and downs in some capacity. Yeah.
So some of the guesses last week we had Anita Baker, Evelyn Champagne King, Ken guessed Diana Ross, which I don't think is accurate.
Then he one-upped himself with Janet Jackson.
Oh, yeah, then he guessed Janet Jackson this week, which makes somehow even less sense, which was hilarious because, yeah, Rita just goes off and does her own thing while Ken is attempting to guess. I think I go back to the disco clues that we had from last week. So like the disco ball had the whole world dancing,
and the Golden Globe,
Dawn, Golden Globe, Belle of the Ball. Like there were a lot of things that makes me feel like this is an icon from the disco era. Like that's the kind of person that we're thinking about for the clock. Now that doesn't necessarily help me get to any specific names, but that's sort of the genre that I'm thinking about.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly where I am at as well, which I do think we're looking at someone from the disco era, but also I am very unfamiliar with that era. So, Yeah.
I need more. The thing, because what was her clue afterwards? Oh, yeah, her clue was love and boat, two things that combine to make a hit, which again feels like such a gimme clue because it's like that's probably the title of a song. But I can't Google Love Boat song because that just gives me the Love Boat.
Yeah, you're going to get stuck on the Love Boat. Yeah. Could this be someone who, because I don't know, is this a thing? You know how there's like Vegas residencies and big artists will get a residency in Vegas? Okay. Is there such a thing as a cruise residency where you become like the marquee sign up for a cruise ship?
Now, I know you can perform, like people get hired to perform on cruise ships, but I don't know if that's something that celebrities aspire to do. Like it's something that you.
Yeah, like, that's what I was trying to see. Is that like a marquee thing? It sounds like it's not.
You know, that should be, though. They should consider Vegas residencies, but for cruise ships. That'd be a lot. Can you imagine living on a cruise ship?
No.
I feel like I'd get seasick.
Yeah, that would be a lot for me.
All right. Well, okay. I don't think that that's the option. I think it's probably it's like a song about like the ship of love or Is that a song? The Ship of Love? It should be.
Absolutely, probably is not.
Oh, the Nutmegs, Ship of Love. Nailed it. Okay. Well, we'll workshop it. I think we're getting close. I think we're in the right era. I think we just, it's on the tip of our tongues.
Okay. So here's what I will say. To me, we're getting close-ish. Okay. However, given that it's still that vague combined with this performance, I think if there's one person I'm not worried about making it to the finals, it's Clock from this group.
Yeah, I think especially, you know, we had Clock and Poodle Moth as like potentially the two people who could go all the way for this group. And I do feel like Clock outperformed Poodle Moth here.
I agree.
We'll get there when we talk about Poodle Moth. But I think that Clock continued to do just such a really like such a great job. So we've had now two consistent performances from her that have been really enjoyable. And also they put so much effort into her staging for this performance, which and so much energy into her costume. It just makes me feel like they're investing a lot, especially when you compare the Clock to the Afghan Hound. They put no energy into hers at all. So the fact that they're putting so much energy into the Clock also makes me feel like this is someone who could be a front runner.
Yeah, no, to me, I think this is a front runner for sure. I mean, I look back at our draft board and I ended up picking Poodle Moth right before you picked Clock. Because yes. I truly felt last week that Poodle Moth was the better. But after this episode, I think I was wrong. And I feel like Poodle Moth was definitely not performing at the same level.
Yeah. So. Yeah. We can talk. And maybe it was a song choice issue. But here for the Clock doing Good Times, the theme from Good Times. First of all, it was very confusing because I didn't know where she was. I was like, is she on stage? And they put that set there. It took forever for me to finally figure out that it's essentially where like the third place unmasked contestant goes or any of the guest judges when they want to just chill and watch the rest of the episode. It's that stage sort of off to the side that then they had built that whole like prop TV set, which did look very cool.
I liked it. I really love this choice performance-wise.
And it was something different that we hadn't seen before. So that was very cool.
Yeah, and I feel like it was good razzle-dazzle. I feel like the Clock definitely brought that, so I like that. And the Clock performs Good Times theme song, which I feel like was a very good... Because I definitely have my opinions on some of these theme songs that get performed on the night. The Good Times theme song, you could have told me it was just, and obviously this is going to sound stupid because they are just songs that end up being used for a theme song. But the Good Times theme song felt like a song. It didn't feel like a TV jingle. And I like that.
Yeah, I think it was a really good choice for her to pick this. Plus, it had the really nice transition from her clue package that I thought that was really cute. And I think just in its totality, it was just a really fun presentation. Both the song, the staging, her performance, the way that they had done everything, the fact that the stage like set was super interactive. I thought that was really fun. I think this was a great performance to start with. And for me, I think it solidified the person who I think is going to make the finale from Group C.
Yeah, no, I really, really, really liked what I got from the Clock here. Might be kicking myself on the draft side of things, but ultimately, you know, we won a couple of those in the draft. Doesn't matter as much anyway, right? So anyway, it was great. I liked it quite a bit. And we get the added clue that gets thrown in here. But it's presented by, of course, from the Love Boat, Jill Whelan comes out with the clue.
Vicky! From the Love Boat. And so then the clue is love and boat, two things that combine to make a hit, which again doesn't really as we've discussed help much right now, but I'm gonna go ahead and note that and maybe it'll come to me. I'll have my own epiphany moment later. and then we get the guesses from the judges, including Ken's terrible Janet Jackson guess.
Horrendous. I will say, I'm going to say this. I don't think that it's love and boat. I don't think those are the clues. I think it's going to be something else. It's going to be synonymous with a boat, maybe like a ship or a cruise or a yacht. I don't think it's going to be boat. I think it's boat adjacent, but it's not boat.
That's what I'm saying. Ship of love. It's got to be ship of love.
You really think it's Ship of Love?
Yeah, like we're sailing on the Ship of Love.
That's
Come with me
thing?
And sail on the Ship of Love. The yacht of love?
You're making it up.
No, I don't know. I'm making it up.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's the thing.
The catamaran of love. You know?
I mean, we have had Flavor of Love, Rock of Love.
Oh my God. It's like
Could
Below
be someone
Deck.
From one of those shows.
Yes, it's like Below Deck, but it's the catamaran of love. And then it's a new dating show on VH1.
We need to not be making stuff up.
I think we should pitch it. It's a great idea.
Okay, well, we're not going to do that. But what we are going to do, Liana, is we're going to hop into the next performer here, and that is the aforementioned Poodle Moth. Mm-hmm. The things we learn about the Poodle Moth is that the Poodle Moth's dad left them. They wrote a lot of letters to dad. Dad hit the return to sender. No letters were given to you by dad. And then the Poodle Moth wrote a letter to themselves, telling mm-hmm. themselves that they can be loved. They should be loved. They are allowed to be loved. And that they are enough. Mm-hmm. And we also saw fireflies.
Yes, we also saw fireflies. So I want to, yes, okay, hold on. Before we go into the Poodle Moth, because I realize that we've essentially created the love boat with the catamaran of love. But just to clarify, it's a different show, okay? It's completely different from the love boat, okay?
Why are you saying this like we're going to get sued for infringing upon the love boat?
Just in case anyone thinks that we've created the same. It's definitely not the same. Intellectual property has no overlap. Okay. I'm just throwing that out there. Okay. Back to the Poodle Moth. So, yes, you pretty much nailed it with everything. Did you mention the acting masks, like the happy and sad acting
masks? Like
from
drama school type?
Yeah, exactly. Like the drama school mm-hmm. one. So that made me, again, think actor or actress. So someone who is not necessarily in the music scene, like maybe they can sing, but they're an actor first. Mm-hmm. So that's still where I'm going with. Although we did talk about how this is someone who could be a songwriter.
Well, so you definitely did do this, yes.
Yeah, I did this. But then I was thinking with the acting masks, then I was leaning maybe back more towards actor or someone more in that realm. Mm-hmm. But I will say the fireflies is the visual clue got me thinking, because do you think it's a tie to the firefly mask that we've had?
Who was the firefly in that mask?
It was Teyana Taylor, right?
Okay, and?
Well, if it's that, then maybe it is a singer. Or someone who song wrote for her. The other option is that it could be a reference to Fireflies, the Owl City song. Like,
yeah,
maybe...
I don't think it's a reference to Owl City. There's no shot.
Okay. Then what do you think the Firefly clue means?
I don't know, because we saw fireflies come out of a jar, but we didn't have a verbal cue as to fireflies being linked to it, right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Like there was no like sentence or something that she said that like, oh, and the fireflies have guided my path or something like that. So it's
also last week we had lanterns. So light is a big part of this person's clue packages.
Do you think it's just because she's a moth in costume and they're like light?
Yeah, that like actually would light. Make a lot of sense.
Yeah, but that's so lame. That doesn't help at all. If it is, I'm complaining. I complain to the manager of
the
Masked Singer.
So you just went through the this week's clues. Last week we had a cowboy hat. We had the notebook with the American flag on it. Mm-hmm. And then the extra clue we got was the Opry.
Oh yeah. Okay, shoot. So maybe not an actor then. Okay, yeah, because that's why we were getting like Trisha Yearwood and Rita Wilson.
That's why.
Well, this didn't help at all. Although, okay, so her performance is unwritten, right? But the lead in was so much unwritten, which again led me back to songwriting as a potential option. Like, this is someone who's a songwriter, but I think it's just a lead in to the theme.
It is
song.
Because then the lizard said something about Scooby-Doo right before we got the Scooby-Doo theme song performance.
You don't think Cisco was in Scooby-Doo? Maybe. Let's see. Cisco Scooby-Doo. Like, maybe he voiced a character or something.
It's possible.
Okay, so there's a villain in the Scooby-Doo fandom universe called Cisco, but it's spelled S-I-S-K-O. It's a human male with orange hair, and it's a clown.
Okay, so
I don't think this is the Cisco that we're thinking of.
Like, I hate to be that guy. Because we're talking about the poodle moth right now. What are you doing going ahead of script?
Sorry. But don't you want to know about Cisco the silent clown?
No, I definitely do not want to know about Cisco the silent clown.
Okay, well, just one last detail. His first appearance was in Big Top Scooby-Doo.
That is inappropriate.
Okay.
That is inappropriate. And not a thing that we should discuss or look at any further. The poodle moth, Liana. So based on you wanting to do anything but talk about the poodle moth, I take it as you don't know who this is.
I don't know. I have a better sense of Ruben and Clay's first annual Christmas Carol family fun pageant spectacular reunion show than I do the poodle moth. Brutal.
I did write down the "you are enough." It
like
could be
York
someone.
Enough.
Yeah, it could be someone from Barbie. I did write that down.
Okay.
I don't know how much validity I give that, but it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know who it would be, but yeah, okay.
What's funny is I love the song "Unwritten" by Natasha Bedingfield. I did not know that it was the theme song for The Hills.
Okay, I had the same realization that I was like, "That's illegal! Like, she's just doing a random song." I thought it had to be a TV theme song before I remembered that it was the theme song from The Hills. So I guess it obviously it is, but I think if you're putting together, let's say we're on Renap and we're putting together a TV theme song bracket, you know, I don't know who would do that or why they would do that, but let's just say you were doing that. I don't think Unwritten makes the list. You know what I mean? Like Good Times, of course, you want Good Times. But Unwritten, which I again doesn't discredit it as a song at all, because I agree with you. I also love this song, but it's not the first ones that come to mind if you're thinking of a theme, like TV theme song.
No, I mean, it doesn't, but I'm very okay with it as a loophole. In fact, I encourage everybody to use a song that was used for a theme song, but isn't necessarily made for the show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Masked Singer themselves are using this "Who Are You" song as True. Their theme song. And they're not even the first show to do it. CSI did it first.
Yeah, that is. So it's actually so when they did. Sorry to jump at when they did the SmackDown and they started, it was like Who Are You song. I was like, oh, the theme song from CSI.
Yeah. Nah, we're just doing erasure totally here.
I know.
Yeah. So. All of that to say, we still don't know who the poodle moth is. The poodle moth does Unwritten. It's done well. My big issues with this was the lack of razzle dazzle. It kind of was just plain Jane, which is fine because the vocals were fine. But the problem is I felt that the vocals were just fine this week. Whereas last week, I thought legitimate contender.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, so I completely agree with you. I actually had the exact same comment about the lack of razzle dazzle. I wanted maybe like, I mean, I was happy with the choir and they kind of needed them almost for the clue later, but I would have preferred actual backup dancers. And like the song's a bop, but they kept cutting to the audience. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but there were a ton of audience shots. Mm-hmm. And to me, that indicates that they're editing together this package and they're like, this is boring. We need something to spice it up and like not let it be so monotonous. So to me, that also is a negative against the staging and the performance element of it. The fact that they had to keep cutting to the audience 1,000 times. So just something that I noticed, especially when we're talking in comparison to The Clock, which was, as we talked about last week, were sort of our top two contenders, but it just felt like so much more energy and effort went into The Clock's performance than the Poodle Moth's from a production standpoint, which again, makes me feel like they're investing more in The Clock and not the Poodle Moth.
Yeah. Well, then add to that, we get the extra clue for the Poodle Moth, And it's presented by Spencer Pratt and Heidi.
Okay, I'm not gonna lie. I was actually so excited. This is the I'm sure that other people have other. I'm sure there are other people that this is their reaction. But for me, I was so excited to see Heidi and Spencer because you know they were like famous when we were growing up. They were the big reality TV people when we were young. I mean, I don't know. For me, they were. So that was actually very exciting. It was kind of like when Spencer Pratt showed up on House of Villains. I was really excited about that. So now that, you know, the economy is making TV shows for our generation, like they're really marketing towards us. I felt like this was a nod to the millennials. I mean, also The Hills, obviously. But
this is so much to say for the 42nd appearance they made on the screen.
I was so excited. I have a very, and this is also maybe part of like my body image stuff issues and things like that. But like, I remember when Heidi got all of that plastic surgery and there was that magazine cover about everything that she had done. Like that is like lives in my brain rent free. They were like very formative. Like Spencer was such a villain, which it would be very fun for him to like officially come on House of Villains. I would be a fan of that. Oh my God. Did you see the cast of House of Villains? The like official semi-official cast.
I'm kind of hurt.
What?
Because I talked to you about the House of Villains cast a month ago.
I know, but now it's like I saw it on EW. Like now it feels real. Like actual, like we had heard the rumored cast.
No, it wasn't rumored. It was just not advertised.
Yeah, it was rumored. I mean, it was official rumored. But now it's official.
Okay, so yes, okay, I have seen the cast.
Okay, anyway, whatever. That's not the point. I'm excited, though. Especially, oh my gosh, Candy Muse. I can't wait. All right, sorry, on track. So, the clue. What was the clue? Oh, yes, the choir sang Where You Lead, song from Gilmore Girls. So I guess the clue, yes, Moth has a very special connection to Gilmore Girls that hits very close to home. That was the specific wording of that clue.
Yes.
What, do you get anything from that?
No, because I've unfortunately never watched the Gilmore Girls. I've watched like the off episode here or there, but I don't know it like properly, like canonically or anything.
Yeah, I was thinking because specifically they said close to home. I was like, oh, maybe because it's set in Connecticut. So maybe this is someone who grew up in Connecticut or something like that. It's like close to home. But that might be me reading way too much into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I would love to know if this is more to do with their life having parallels with the plot of Gilmore Girls, or is this a situation where maybe they've had a song used on Gilmore Girls, or they've made a cameo in Gilmore Girls, or like they guess could be close to one or both of the titular Gilmore Girls, perhaps.
Mm-hmm. Right. Like maybe they acted together
in some
with
capacity.
Lauren Graham or something. Yeah. Cause we saw some of that stuff brought up. So I think that that's definitely a possibility as well.
Yeah. It's interesting because we're in the middle of this podcast right now. And I'm very frustrated that I don't know anything about the first two performers. I wish I could say more, but I really don't have more to say.
Yeah, well, that's how, because Ken guessed Melissa McCarthy, which I guess is an option. Jenny straight up guessed Lauren Graham. Robin guessed Connie Britton, which I think would be very interesting. She also kind of fits the country category if we were to do her, but also an actor because she was in Nashville and like a bunch of other stuff. So she could be an option, but I just don't feel like really good about it.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I'm not fully locked in at the moment on this. Let's take a quick break, though. When we get back, we'll talk about the person you're very excited to talk about, and that is the silent clown from Scooby-Doo. It's Cisco. Or, sorry, the lizard. Stay with us. All right. Here's the lizard. The thing is, I almost don't want to call him Cisco. But now that Robin and Rita are on the same page as I am, I just feel very confident that this is Cisco. So I'm okay to call him Cisco.
I know. I know. I really genuinely think that this is, between you clocking it on your own, those two independently clocking it on their own, I just feel like there's no way it's not him. And I think also you can look to a lot of the clue, like we were already able to put some of the clue packages together. So to me, that's like pretty much a slam dunk.
I mean, can I just say that Robin finally did something that I always do when I figure someone out without the clue and just admitted the voice. It was the voice. Nothing to do with the clues fitting. That's how I got there. But I think more clues were added that really put it into perspective that, you know, this is exactly who we think it is.
Mm-hmm. I know. I love that he was, even when they were talking about some of the clue pack, he was like, look. It's just the voice. Like, there's nothing about the clue packages that I could try to fit. That's it. That's all it is.
So to add more from the clue package, the big thing was that I guess the lizard loved drawing cartoons, got offered a job at an animation studio, and pretty much they did everything but blatantly say that it was Disney who tried to hire the lizard to be a part of their team. And the lizard said no. Their dad was shook. And they pursued their life to be a performer, and that's who they are now. We do see a lizard doll, and we see cowboy boots.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So the cowboy boots is, I think, a reference to, wasn't he Wild Wild West?
Yep. Wild Wild West. Later on, we hear about the dog, and snow dogs. We just looked at that last week, so that could work.
Yes. And then also in the Baltimore Sun, Baltimore bred R&B star Cisco unleashes 20 facts. And one of those facts is before he got into music, he almost became an animator. He said that Disney staffers were interested, blah, 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 blah. So again, like exactly. And like, that's such a unique story and such a unique thing to happen that to me, that feels like such a slam dunk.
In 2008, Cisco was a contestant on a reality show called Gone Country.
I don't know what that is, but it sounds like something I should watch.
Yeah, Gone Country was the main cat. Let's see. Is an American celebrity reality TV show in which contestants compete to become a country music singer. The contestants, it ran three seasons. The contestants on the season Cisco was on had Bobby Brown, Maureen McCormick from The Brady Bunch. They had Diana DeGarmo from American Idol. They had Julio Iglesias Jr., son of singer Julio Iglesias, brother of Enrique Iglesias, who, by the way, won the season, spoiler alert. Then you had Cisco, you had Dee Schneider, lead singer of Twisted Sister, and Carney Wilson, daughter of Beach Boys frontman Brian Wilson.
Yes, from the band Wilson Phillips, who was also on The Masked Singer. And wasn't Dee Snider on The Masked Singer as well? So
This is our new Dancing with the Stars.
This is our new Dancing with the Stars. Yes, exactly. Oh my God, wait, Bobby Brown was also on The Masked Singer. Remember, he was the crab. So was
Chris Kirkpatrick, cast member on season two of Gone Country.
Oh my gosh. Wait, but actually though, okay, I think this might be. Oh my God. Wait, okay, hold on. So was Sebastian Bach, was also season two and also on The Masked Singer. So I think, Taylor Dane from season three was on The Masked Singer. Okay, yeah, we gotta start checking this list.
Yeah, this is a thing we're going to do moving forward.
This is our list now.
What's wild is that the show is, it says that the release for it was between January 25th, 2008, March 7th, 2009. How did they get three seasons in a year?
I don't know. I don't know how they managed to do that. Yeah, because that's all in 1 year, essentially. They released three seasons in 1 year. Maybe it was only like two episodes or something like that. Oh, no. Wait.
16
no,
so total three, episodes.
Yeah, so 16 total episodes. Okay, between the three. Oh, George Clinton. George Clinton was also on season three. He was also on The Masked Singer.
He was?
Yeah. He was in season eight.
There we go.
Yeah. Wow. All right. is okay, interesting. Yeah, I guess we're gonna see Jermaine Jackson next. He was on season two. Cool.
All right, spoilers. Full spoilers on Gone Country.
Sorry.
We're sorry if y'all really wanted to check out a 11-year-old show. Or sorry, over 11 years old that was on air for a year.
Yeah. Who's the let's see, who's the host
of John Rich?
From Big and Rich. Okay, it sounds awful to be honest, but I kind of want to watch it.
You're gonna watch it. I have zero doubts that you're not gonna pursue this show.
Well, it's only 16 episodes. I think I can watch that in like 2 days.
I can't wait for you a month from now to be like, hey, I heard of this show. It's called Gone Country. Have you checked it out? And I'll be there like, we talked about it a month ago. It came up.
I'm just excited for when I bring up to Mike Bloom that I'll be like, hey, you know what? I watched Gone Country. And he's like, yeah, I've seen all the seasons.
No, Mike Bloom's like, I've seen all the seasons. I have memorabilia from the show. I actually once met up with George Clinton for breakfast. It was a good time.
Yeah, I interviewed them all and they got eliminated. Yeah, I love that. Okay, so Cisco the clown.
No, don't call him that.
So, fun fact about Cisco the clown, not Cisco the performer. So apparently he used a honking horn to communicate, which I believe is an homage to Harpo Marx from the Marx Brothers. But anyway, he never broke character to speak until he was about to leave on a train to Philadelphia when he said of his former clown partner, I thought he'd never leave. And that's all he's ever said. So I think Cisco said more words than this Cisco.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, just fun fact. Just in case you ever end up in a trivia night when you're talking about Cisco the clown from Scooby-Doo, now you know.
Guarantee you this is going to be my Slumdog Millionaire moment. I'm going to win $1 million off of this little bit of trivia.
You're welcome, honk honk. Because that's how he communicated with a horn.
So the performance was Scooby-Doo's theme song. And I feel like the razzle dazzle was there. I felt like the lizard does good movement. And I wrote in my notes, this song shouldn't be a good performance, but it is. I felt like the lizard did good with the song material given. Mm-hmm. But I also, this is where I come in and say that I felt like taking a absolute theme song specifically for your performance was never going to yield good results. And that does culminate with the lizard being in the bottom too.
Mm-hmm. My initial reaction was, what a choice. Because I just thought it never would have crossed my mind to do the Scooby-Doo theme song. But it was kind of an out-of-the-box choice, which sounds weird because it's a pretty obvious theme song. I think most people would recognize it if you were to hear the theme song. I just felt like it wasn't necessarily the best choice for him. I mean, he's a good singer. I think the staging was fun. It was cute. But I do agree with you that it landed him in the bottom regardless. So I think you have to look at the song choice as probably part of that because he is a good performer.
Yeah. And again, I feel like, and I hate that I feel this way, but to me, it feels like we are about to lose the lizard next week. Mm-hmm. And it's through nothing except for the fact that the lizard at this point has been caught. But I also think the lizard shouldn't have been in the bottom two this week. So,
you think Poodle Moss should have been there with the
wild card? I really do. I think Poodle Moss should have been in there with the wild card. Now, again, all four of these performers were really good too. It's not like I'm saying that there were some bad ones or Poodle Moss is awful. Absolutely not. But I think this is more so to do with the lizard, because then to fast forward a little bit, when the lizard performs the Masked Singer theme, as Masked Singer would want you to say, the lizard made it their own style and it was incredible. The vocals were phenomenal. And I feel like the lizard's holding back.
Mm. That's why I'm saying song choice as a potential reason why he ended up in the bottom, because I just don't think it was necessarily the best song for him. And obviously he's got the personal connection with being an animator and all that, or potentially an animator, like draw cartoons, blah, blah, blah. But it just, for his voice, it just didn't necessarily feel like the right choice.
Yeah. So then the extra clue we got for the lizard was a literal dog that they said was Scooby-Doo because of the blue collar the dog was wearing. And the dog was terrified of the lizard.
Oh my God, so scared. Wanted nothing to do with him. Oh my gosh, I felt bad for the dog. It's scary. There's a big audience, a lot of people, a lot of noise. And then you've got this like terrifying lizard creature that you've never seen before. Like, of course it's going to be scary.
Yeah. So the extra clue was that a dog helped me reach a bigger audience. Now, this could, you know, immediately the judges thought maybe Snoop Dogg, but also I think Snow Dogs is a very good shout for this, given that Snow Dogs ends up being a movie that was, I guess, successful, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Let's see. The box office of 115 million. Not bad.
Yeah, not bad. Also, the song Wanted Dead or Alive featuring Cisco from Tupac and Snoop Dogg, that could also be a
potential. Who's Tupac?
Like Tupac, you know what I mean.
Yeah, Tupac.
Tupac.
The song Wanted Dead or Alive, not that one, but the other one was in the second Scooby-Doo movie.
Again, another Scooby-Doo reference. I love it.
Okay. Well, the judges seem to have loved it as well. So good for them. Like we said, Robin and Rita literally landed on Cisco and didn't leave. And Jenny said Ray J because Ray J is cousins with Snoop Dogg.
Yeah, Ken stuck with Michael Bivins from New Edition, but Rita and Robin both essentially, I think they know it. We know it. We all know it.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Now, we get to meet the wild card, the final performer.
I actually did laugh out loud to Robin's pun of he's shaking his tail leather. Which I shouldn't have laughed at, but I did.
I didn't even catch that.
Not the lion. Yeah, it was like right at the end, right before they cut to commercial or something like that. Yeah. But yeah, wild card, Sir Lion.
Tell us about Sir Lion.
Okay, yes. So we know we've seen three performers. We've seen them already. Then we set up the stage for the wild card to come out. And they're like, do-do-do-do, like big music, lights go down, very dramatic. And then all of a sudden, Sir Lion starts walking on stage to the Curb Your Enthusiasm music.
Yeah.
Which I get it's a theme song. Okay, I get it. I understand it. I understand why it's here. But it has been memeified to the end of the earth to essentially be like this goofball, right? I mean, obviously, it's part of the show. I get it, blah, 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 whatever. But it's continued to be used as a meme. So when he's walking out to like...
I felt like, just tell us the Sir Lion's getting unmasked because there's no shot you're letting him get through now.
I was like, that's so rude. Like, you're essentially sending him out here being like, look at this idiot. Like, that is the energy that it was bringing by choosing the Curb Your Enthusiasm music, which they did that before. There was one week, I don't remember exactly which one it is, but they had picked like the stupidest walkout song that just made it that mask look so silly and so goofy. So it was giving the same energy as that. So it was just so tough for me to take that performance seriously when you send them out with that music. But anyway, regardless. So that was the intro. And then we get to the clue package. So there's a visual clue of the radio. Mm-hmm. And it talks about how every good night of TV needs a twist. So they're happy to be playing the role of wild card. They come from a well-known pride, but never took it for granted. They became a ringleader in Hollywood, rubbing elbows with Tom Cruise to Tom Hanks. But in showbiz, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. And then there were some visual clues. There was a picture of an anchor. There was Jerry Seinfeld on a hot air balloon, pictures of 30 Rock. And there was a cannon, but I wasn't sure if that was a visual clue.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the canon being a part of the clue here, but ultimately, the Jerry Seinfeld, the Rockefeller Plaza, mentioning a horse and a carriage, I thought this was potentially Jason Alexander because of the horse and carriage in Jerry Seinfeld, because I thought, well, I know he was in the Cinderella movie that I've watched where Brandy plays Cinderella. Mm-hmm. It was not Jason Alexander, so I was wrong there. So that's not fun. The performance choice, they did Love and Marriage, aka the Married with, is it Married with Children?
Yeah, Married with Children.
Yeah, they did that theme song. What did you think of that choice?
Okay, I'm not going to lie. My first reaction was like, oh yeah, this is good, but they're probably getting unmasked. I'm telling you, it was probably the preconditioning from the Curb Your Enthusiasm theme song, but I was still just like, look, this is someone who's a solid performer, but we had talked about how strong Group 3 was, and I think that even though the Poodle Moth faltered a little bit, I still think that she did enough to be better than Sir Lion in this performance. And like, the colors were cool with the whole circus thing, but it just felt like there wasn't that much going on. So the razzle dazzle also wasn't enough to kind of push it up to that like next tier. It just felt good. It was solidly good. It was just in a group with three other really great performers.
Yeah, I feel like if you put this Sir Lion in either of the other groups, there may be an outside chance that they survive and they stay in for another day. But the reality is, we've talked about how this is one of the strongest groups we've had. So there was no shot Sir Lion was going to survive this group, I feel like.
Yeah, exactly. It just felt like it was a lamb to slaughter kind of situation.
Yeah, kind of in a doom to fail situation, for sure.
Yeah, now, yeah. I think you have to be top tier to be able to make it out of the group.
Exactly. So then we also get the Flintstones clue, and it's a bone that says co-star on it, and they say that they co-starred on a different TV show with Betty Rubble, which was Rosie O'Donnell.
Yep. So, I mean, Rosie O'Donnell has done a ton of sort of like hosting shows and been, you know, she like very much fills that role as well as being an actress. So, I mean, it's just, it's so tough. Like, how does that really help you to narrow anything down?
Yeah. So then ultimately we get to the bottom two, and the bottom two includes Sir Lion and Lizard. We already talked about the theme song. Lizard killed it. They did their own rendition, which I thought was good. Sir Lion did a serviceable job, which I was not mad at, but also didn't feel too great about, ultimately culminating in the Sir Lion being unmasked.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, look, I do think it was close, though, between the two. I don't think it was a stop it, she's already dead kind of situation like we got with the Afghan Hound. So I think from that perspective, it made me happy that at least it was a bit of a fight. But I do agree that the Lizard made it his own. He really knocked it out of the park. And I do think that Sir Lion should have been unmasked. Yeah.
And it worked out that way.
It did. It really did. Lucky me.
Yeah. So then we get this unmasking. And turns out, all of the judges were wrong on the guess here. It's Billy Bush.
Yeah, the judges were like Anderson Cooper, Ryan Seacrest, Andy Cohen. So, I mean, I think they were in the right ballpark with Billy Bush. So I'll tell you. So, okay. So I know two things about Billy Bush. Three things about Billy Bush. One, he was a correspondent on Access Hollywood, which was spoofed in BoJack Horseman, when they referred to the host as a Billy Bush type. And third, he was the one who was talking to Donald Trump when Donald Trump was talking about grabbing her by the private parts.
Wow. So I didn't know that that was him. Because I opened the wiki just now to Prime talking about him. I never put two and two together that he's related to the Bush family until this very moment.
Yes. Yes, that also. Okay, I know four things about Billy Bush. And that was why like I come from a well-known pride that refers to from the Bush family, but that I don't even think about. Like, I think about him on Access Hollywood, I think about BoJack Horseman, and then I think about that tape. And it's in that order also. Actually, maybe put BoJack Horseman first. So then I think after the video he got after the tape surfaced, he got fired or something like that. So I think that refers to the in showbiz, the higher you climb, the harder you fall. But yeah, he was the one who was having the conversation with Trump with the
That's wild.
Gotta grab him. So So
yeah, he also replaced Mario Lopez on Extra. He's the host of Extra now.
Ah, okay. So he's still working.
Which is funny because this came after Mario Lopez departed Extra to host Access Hollywood.
Oh, so they did a little bit of a swap-a-roonies.
A little bit. Because, I mean, like you said, Billy Bush lost his job in 2016. And then in 2019, he became the host of Extra and Mario Lopez left to go become the host of Access Hollywood.
Okay. Okay. So maybe we'll see Mario Lopez on The Masked Singer at some point.
I mean, yeah, that would be nice. We'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ah. Oh, okay. Sorry. I'm also, I just pulled up his Wikipedia page as well. Apparently, Billy Bush was also the first reporter to interview American Olympian swimmer Ryan Lochte after the athlete claimed he was robbed at gunpoint in Rio de Janeiro.
Oh, my God.
Bush's due diligence as an interviewer was scrutinized after critics claimed Bush did not ask questions that would have shown if Lochte's story was fabricated. When the details of Lochte's story began to fall apart, Matt Lauer re-interviewed the swimmer in a move that was seen as a snub to Bush. So, okay, some drama there. Love that. Well, yeah, so it was a one-and-done appearance for Sir Lion.
Goodbye. Sir Lion is gone. To look at the draft board, I had Sir Lion. I drafted Sir Lion 12th overall, leaving you with the Lovebird. So it was a gamble. The gamble did not pay off. And Sir Lion is now gone.
Yep. Yeah. So I believe, oh no, I have everyone in group A, right? Or do I have everyone in group C? I can't remember.
No, because I have Poodle a. Moth. I have Poodle Moth.
Yeah. Okay. So I have group A.
And I have Lizard. You actually have one in group C, and that's Clock.
Ooh, Clock. All right. Let's do it, Clock. TikTok, time o'clock. Let's go.
Here's hoping Clock has signed a 3-episode deal and gets unmasked next episode.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah. Well, Liana, is there anything else you want to speak on with regards to episode 4 here?
No, I think that's it. I mean, look, it went the way that we expected, or at least the way I expected. The wild card came in and the wild card went out. And we're going to have a final three with the other three contestants that I thought were going to be there. So I'm actually kind of excited. I'm excited to wrap up the group. Like it feels like we're chip chopping along. And I like that.
Next week, we have a new theme and it's about to get steamy because we've got shower anthems night next week.
So I assume that refers to songs that you like to belt in the shower, which to be honest, could be anything.
Yeah. I mean, basically, isn't that essentially saying like karaoke night? Like someone's, because I feel like typically you're singing stuff that you would probably do at karaoke in the shower.
Yeah. I think that's a good comparison because I think we've had karaoke night before. So this is karaoke night 2.0, but shower songs, I guess.
Yes.
Or whatever it was called.
Yeah. So shower anthems night next week. We'll see how that goes.
Oh, yeah. Shower anthems night. What would you sing if you were singing in shower anthems night?
I don't know.
I think I'd pick something that's like out of my vocal range. Something I can't sing very well, but I just love to belt. Like probably, or maybe like Britney Spears or Christina Aguilera or something like that. Because, the shower kind of masks your singing, because that's the difference between karaoke and shower singing, is that with shower singing, you have like the noise of the shower and the water and you can't really hear all the way. So you can sing songs that maybe you would not attempt in a karaoke night.
Thank you for the distinction, Leon. Always appreciate it.
Yeah,
your insight knows no bounds.
I'm a schmarty.
That you're not incorrect.
But not because of this.
this and many other things.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway, yay, we did it.
Yay. All right. I don't have anything else to add. This was a fine episode. I wasn't mad at it. I guess if I'm going to be a little shady, I would say not great that your arguably your most relevant celebrity was Kevin Hart, who was not really an unmasking.
Yeah, it's definitely been an interesting group of contestants. I mean, I think we definitely have. So, because it was so Kevin Hart, then Savannah Chrisley, who we didn't know, but apparently
the audience is knew.
Somewhat known. The guy from MasterChef,
which I think, again, a lot of people know, we don't know.
Right. Billy Bush, who I would say was famous at the time, but probably has fallen off in relevance, although that's most singers.
I mean, again, still someone that we might not know. The thing is, I do feel like they've gotten people, maybe not Savannah Chrisley, but the other two are doing stuff and are actively known. I just feel like the caliber is low. I'm not saying that Masked Singer has been like an A-list like graveyard by any means, but I feel like we've had more, I don't know, more relevant people. I don't know how to say it without coming off mean.
Although, I mean, I would say like, okay, we have, okay, here's the people that we feel potentially confident about, right? Maybe Clay Aiken and Ruben Studdard, which I would say, at least for us, is like, to me, a big deal. For Vanessa Hudgens was a potential person that we had as the goldfish. Lizard is Cisco, I think is pretty good. Who else did we guess? Jennifer Lewis for Miss Cleocatra was another person that we were considering. So I do think that at least there's some bigger names that eventually we'll see unmasked. But I do agree with you that thus far, it's not like it's been the tip top tier kind of. People.
Yeah, I don't know if like this is something they've kind of put themselves in a corner for, but I feel like every season you should have at least two people who are very relevant at the time.
Yeah. Okay.
In so some capacity.
The first four people unmasked from last season, Anthony Anderson.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval.
Which was relevant for that.
Yeah. Michael Rapaport. And Billie Jean King.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that like, okay, those, yeah. If you're comparing those four to these four, definitely these four outrank those four for sure.
Yeah. Because then season nine, we had Dick Van Dyke, Sarah Evans, Howie Mandel, and Debbie Gibson.
Oh, yeah. That's like, that's a star-studded group. Especially Dick Van, I can't believe Dick Van Dyke was on the show. That's so wild to me.
Season eight was William Shatner, Eric Idle, Chris Kirkpatrick, and Jeff Dunham.
Okay, that's also a really, really solid group.
Yeah, I guess season seven is probably the one I would go to as... Nope, season seven, Duff Goldman, pastry chef, Joe Buck, sportscaster, Jorge Garcia, who is Hurley from Lost, and then Jordan Mailata, the NFL player, who was, we thought was really good.
He was really good. It's thingamabob.
I didn't realize he was the fourth boot.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Yeah, and then season six was Dwight Howard, Vivica A. Fox, Toni Braxton, and Tyga. So I think I feel more validated in my thoughts now after looking at the first four boots of all these other seasons.
Yeah, and I am more inclined to agree with you after looking at the boots from the last season. So
season five was Kermit the Frog, Caitlyn Jenner, Danny Trejo, and Logan Paul.
Yeah, I forgot Logan Paul did it because we were debating which Paul brother, and I can never remember which one actually did it, if it was Jake or Logan. Thank God it was Logan, I guess.
If you have to pick between the two.
By comparison, yeah, if you have to, but still, I don't know.
Okay.
I wonder if he tried to get us for his crypto zoo.
Potentially most iconic first four boots was season three. You had Lil Wayne, Drew Carey, Chaka Khan, and Tony Hawk.
That's star power, baby.
Yeah, that's the best one in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah.
All right, well, that's enough first four boots conversation. We'll see who joins the boots next week with the fifth and sixth boot next week potentially. We'll see what shower anthems look like. Of course, y'all can find us on socials. I am at Puyaism on Twitter. Liana is at LeonaRHAP. Liana, what are the podcasts you have going on at the moment?
Yes. So right now I am this specific week. I'm taking a bit of a step back with family in town. So we're going to be spending some quality family time. But Drag Race and Survivor are still going on and still going strong. So the B&B and the Drag Race for Hap Up will both go out this week for their respective episodes.
There we go. And of course, y'all can find me on Twitch. That's where I am when I'm not podcasting, twitch.tv/Puya. And aside from that, 90 Day Fiancé, brand new season is happening right now. I had Jason Reed on with me to talk about episode 2. And so far, so good. So far, the season has not tested me yet, but I know what's going to. So I'm bracing for impact. And other than that, yeah, life is good. We're doing good. Thank you so much for hanging out with us here today. We'll be back next week with some shower thoughts on the, what was it called? Steamy shower anthems?
Oh, no.
No, shower anthems night.
Not steamy shower anthems.
Well, Nick did call it a steamy affair and then said shower anthems. So, because I thought it was going to be like love songs or something, but then that's not what it was. Anyway, we'll unmask y'all next week, but until then, take care. Have a good one. Bye. Who's under there? I wonder. I want to know what I can't see. Who's under there? I want to talk about.